Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody. We are continuing our series on the prophets in the Old Testament, and we're looking at prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, and we're looking at the strange things that the Lord asked the prophets to do. To act out something, to show people a physical image of something. And today's story carries with it a severe warning from the Lord. Severe warning to the people, and obviously a warning for each one of us in our lives. Now let's first look at a little bit of the backstory to what is happening in our story today in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, Jeremiah lived during the time that the King Nebuchadnezzar came and took people out of the land back to Babylon. And there was a portion of the people who remained behind, and Jeremiah was part of those people who remained behind, and a portion of those people rebelled, killed the king that King Nebuchadnezzar had appointed, and they wanted to flee down to Egypt. And Jeremiah was taken along with those people. Now, in the story, that group of people, those men of Judah, came to Jeremiah, and they said, "Jeremiah, we want you to ask the Lord, what is the right thing to do?" And I want to read to you a little bit of scripture as a backfill to what we're going to read today. So they said to Jeremiah, so I'm reading now in Jeremiah 42, if you want to make a note of that. So they said to Jeremiah, "Let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. If we do not do according to everything which the Lord our God sends us by you, whether it is pleasing or whether it is displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." So they want Jeremiah to find out from the Lord, what is the right thing to do? "And we will obey," they say. "We will obey. Whatever the Lord says, we will obey." So Jeremiah goes, and 10 days later, he comes back with a message from the Lord. And the message from the Lord says, "Don't go to Egypt. Don't go to Egypt." So what do the people do? Do they obey? No, they never obey the Lord. And they say to Jeremiah, "You're lying. The message that you're bringing is from our enemies." And they go to Egypt. So what does that story have to do with us? Well, the Lord asks Jeremiah to then act out a story. Give us an image that explains what is happening in our spiritual lives. Because we're looking at the Bible and we remember that all the stories in the Lord's Word have come from the Lord. Right? It is the Lord's Word. Sorry, there's a bird that taps at the window there. You just want to open that window so it can't. I'll just wait for that. All right, thank you. So every story in the Lord's Word carries with it a spiritual meaning. Every story, it appears just like a history book, but this is a book that has been designed by the Lord. And so it carries within it not just the history of a people, it carries with it the Lord Himself. It carries with Him ideas from heaven. And so we look at the book, we look at these stories, we look at what Jeremiah is asked to act out, and we can look at this and say, what is the heavenly meaning? What is the meaning behind the story that the Lord is trying to get us to understand? So I want to read to you, and you can follow along in your pew cards. This is what the Lord asks Jeremiah to act out. "Then came the word of Jehovah to Jeremiah in Tapahes, saying, 'Take great stones in thy hand and hide them in the clay in the brick kiln, which is at the entrance to the house of Pharaoh, before the eyes of the men of Judah, and say unto them, Thus says Jehovah of armies, the God of Israel, Behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne above those stones that I have concealed, and he shall stretch out his pavilion over them. And when he comes, he shall smite the land of Egypt, and deliver such as are for death to death, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. So the Lord brings a warning to the people that you are going to be destroyed. What you are doing is going to destroy you. So what does it have to do with our life? What is taking a great stone and hiding it in the clay and putting it in the brick kiln? What does it have to do with our lives? Let's start off looking at some of the elements of this picture. Can you picture a great stone covered in clay, hidden in a brick kiln? Think of a pizza oven, right? A dome-shaped oven with a fire in the one side and bricks in the other. A stone in clay inside this oven. The stone, when we read about it in the Lord's Word, a stone represents what is true from the Lord's Word. A stone represents truth. What is true? And this stone is now in the clay. It has clay around it. And our recitation we read today was about the fact that the Lord is the potter and we are the clay. So what is that meaning of clay? When we turn to the teachings for the new church, you can follow along in your pew cards. It tells us what clay, that clay represents. The symbolism of mortar or clay as the goodness that forms, or goodness or the love that forms the substance of the mind. In other words, forms the people of the church. Clay stands for the individual in the church who is actually being formed. And so for the charitable goodness, the serving, loving other people, that does all the work of shaping or forming us, that is, reforming us and regenerating. Clay, if we think about clay, it's something that's easily molded. Our lives, when we come to the Lord, are a mess. We are broken. We are struggling in many ways. And the Lord, if we follow the Lord's truths, if we use those as a guide to live by, the Lord's love is able to enter our lives. And the Lord's love is able to remold and reshape our lives. It's His love that remolds, reshapes our minds, remolds and reshapes our heart to a vessel that is able to receive more life from Him. So here we have a beautiful image of a stone, the truth, covered in love that molds and shapes. It's a beautiful image. That's what the person of the church is. That's what we should be doing. Having the truth at the center of our lives and love that is an expression of that truth around it. But that stone is then buried in the furnace, in the brick furnace. Now, I want to draw a contrast here between what the Lord means by stones in His Word and what the Lord means by bricks. If you think about a stone, it's a natural occurring object. You don't have to mold it or shape it, or you can pick up a stone, right? It's already in a perfect form, a natural form, untouched by human hands. Whereas a brick is something that has been shaped by us, by human hands, and then put into an oven to bake. So if a truth is represented by a stone, false thinking, our own things of our own making, ideas of our own making are represented by bricks. The truth from the Lord versus the false ideas, the mistaken things that we think that we make in our lives. We think about the furnace. That furnace, it's going to be hot. Right? Heat and fire represent a love. But it's love for making bricks. A love that comes from inside of us. A selfishness to want things our way. Right? A selfish love. So this image of a furnace represents our minds and the selfish love to construct our own thinking, our own ways, our own ideas. When we take the truth of the Lord and we put it into that mind, into our mind, and try and remold it and reshape it ourselves, we're taking a truth and we're corrupting it. We're taking a truth and we're turning it into something that's false. So hiding in the Lord's word never represents anything good. Hiding from the Lord, turning away from the Lord, falsifying his truths, that image of hiding in the oven, turning away from the Lord's truths, making them our own, remolding, reshaping something so that it fits our life. And this is what we all do. We all take the Lord's truths in some way or another, and we hide it in our minds and want to reshape it and remold it so that it fits our life, so that it fits what the world is saying around us. We might refer to the truths, some truths, as hard truths. Right? How does the Lord expect me to believe that? How does the Lord expect me to live my life like that? And what we'd rather do is reshape and remold what the Lord is saying and trim off a little bit here and cut off a little bit there so that it fits. And this is more acceptable to me. Some examples. The Lord's word teaches about marriage. That marriage is one of the Ten Commandments, right? About adultery. Marriage is something that's special and holy. But yet we see in the world around us and in our own lives where we don't hold marriage up of one man and one woman. We don't hold that up as from the Lord. And so we have all sorts of things that become acceptable in our lives, can become acceptable in society's lives, whether it's people getting together before marriage and having children before marriage, or whether it's other kinds of relationships other than man and woman. We want to believe that the Lord loves everyone. So the Lord doesn't mind what kind of relationship it is, as long as people love each other. Surely love is most important. We've taken the Lord's truths and we've used the Lord's truths against the Lord's truths to make something acceptable in our lives. Think of another example. The creation story. Creation story is often a very big hurdle to people. Do I believe the Bible, that the Lord made this world in 7 days? Or do I believe science that says it is an evolutionary event that happened over many, many thousands and millions of years? Which is it? And we tend to side one side or the other, or we bad mouth one side or destroy one set of ideas, or we say, well, the Lord's word in that part is not real, or it's written for a different time, or it's written for a different people, and so we don't have to believe it. And so we dismiss the Lord's word and we rather go for what science is able to prove. Okay? We're taking that idea of creation and we're molding it and we're shaping it and even turning it into something that has no truth anymore. So each one of us, in our own ways, takes the Lord's truths and says, well, that's a little bit hard to understand, and we want to remold it, reshape it, so that it's acceptable to us, or that it's acceptable to society. But the Lord tells us where the problem lies. The Lord says that this stone covered in clay, put it in the oven that is at the entrance to the Pharaoh's house. And there is lovely meaning within that. The Pharaoh's house, it's in Egypt. If we think of a map of the Middle East, you have the land of Israel, and below it is the land of Egypt. The land of Israel, or the promised land, or the heavenly land, represents that higher part of our mind, the internal self, the heavenly self. And the land of Egypt, below it, represents our outer self, our natural self, where we think about things in natural ways, where we're concerned with daily living. That's the land of Egypt. Our natural mind that is concerned with things of this world. And that furnace is at the entrance to the Pharaoh's house. So the Pharaoh's house, a house, represents those ideas that we live by. Okay? And this is in our natural mind. The ideas that we live by every day that get us through life, our routines, the things that we know. And the entrance to that. How do we learn in this natural world? We learn through our senses. We learn through our experience of this world. That's the entrance to our mind. Entrance to our mind is our senses. Through our eyes, our ears, our touch, our smell. When we take the Lord's word, those truths, and bury them in the oven at the entrance. When we take the Lord's truths and we put them before our natural lives, when we put them before our senses, we begin to destroy them. We want to prove God in physical ways, right? Who here wouldn't love to see God? We all would, right? We all want to know physically that God is here. We want to experience Him, see Him, touch Him, give Him a hug. In that way, we can know that we're believing in something right. Our senses demand that. They want to touch and feel and see. And if we are ruled by our senses, if we're ruled by our natural life, if we're ruled by things needing to be proven in natural ways, then we start to destroy the truths that are above the natural. If we have the idea of creation, for example, our natural self wants to prove it, prove that creation happened in 7 days, and we can't. In natural ways, science says it's proven that it's over many, many thousands and millions of years. And so, what do we do with this idea of creation? We throw it out. It's destroyed in our lives. What about the idea of marriage, to honor marriage and relationships, and to not commit adultery, and not to lust after other people, or not to flirt with other people? That's what the Lord's word is. That's the truth. But our physical self says, well, there's no harm in flirting. Right? It's harmless fun. Right? It feels good to interact and then tease and maybe get into a little bit of naughtiness. Right? It feels good. I'm not hurting anyone. That's what our natural self says. And in doing that, we are destroying the Lord's truths. We are hiding it away. We're chipping away at it. We're destroying that truth in our life. And that's the danger before us. The topic for today was the tower, the power waiting to destroy us. And that power is the power of our senses. The power of our natural self is waiting to destroy our spiritual life. Our senses are very powerful. But if we turn to the Lord, and if we have a certain kind of attitude, the Lord can be with us and help us through this. And I want to read to you from the teachings for the new church, and you can follow along. And this tells us how we can move forward when we come up against one of those hard truths that we don't yet believe or doesn't quite fit into our life yet? What do we do with that? So we read from Secrets of Heaven 6:4-9. But people who have an affirmative frame of mind, so a positive looking to the Lord and wanting to know, wanting to believe, wanting to understand, that is who are ruled through and through by an affirmative attitude, turn away small difficulties which are based, and I like this word, the illusions of our senses. The illusions of our senses says, well, cheating on my wife or my husband doesn't really matter. It feels good. The illusion of the senses. The illusion that we aren't doing any harm. So turn away small difficulties which are based on the illusions of the senses and go against truths. And any things they cannot grasp, they cast aside. They put aside, saying that they do not yet understand them. And in so doing, hold fast unto their belief in the truth. When we come across an idea that is hard to grasp, that we don't yet understand, instead of trying to make it into a brick, instead of trying to mold it into something that fits into our life, the Lord says, put that truth aside. Put that truth aside. One day, I'll understand it. Maybe I need to learn a little bit more, discover a few more things, find another couple of puzzle pieces before that piece can fit into my life. But put it aside. Put it on the bookshelf. Come back to it again in a couple of days or a couple of weeks or a couple of months and try and understand it again as the Lord gives it and not make it something that I want it to be. So this is how we can protect ourselves with the Lord's help against falsifying the Lord's truths, turning away from the Lord's truths, is saying, this is holy, this is true, but as yet, I don't understand it. And that is okay. It is okay to not understand something. It is perfectly okay not to understand. It is perfectly okay to ask questions. It is perfectly okay to come to me and say, Pastor Mark, this does not make sense. Fantastic. That's what we want. Right? If we've got something that we don't understand yet, we're going to ask the Lord to help us understand. And in time, I will understand it as it is given, rather than distorting it, falsifying it, and making it into something that is earthly. So the teachings for the new church help bring light to many of the stories in the Lord's Word and help us to see and understand our spiritual journey in a wonderfully vivid way. Being able to see the stories and try and see the correspondence to our life. So when we read about those men of Judah saying to Jeremiah, we will obey. We will do it. Well, if it's good or whether it's bad, we will do it. That's what the Lord is asking each one of us to do. The truths that the Lord gives to us, whether they agree with us or whether they don't, we need to obey them. Not like the men of Judah who, when they saw that the Lord came back with a message that was disagreeable, they dismissed it. That's putting it in the oven, putting it before the senses, saying, no, that's a lie. The Lord wants us to hold on to the truth, whether we agree with it or whether we don't. Hold on to that. Protect it. It has the power, maybe not now, but in the future, to change our lives. Amen. To the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word, your truth that you have given to us. Lord, we ask that as we go to your word, as we study your truths, will you help us to hold those truths as special, as holy, as powerful in our minds? And Lord, be with us in trying to understand the things that you teach. But when we do not understand, help us to set those aside and to try not to put them before our spiritual, our natural lives, before our senses, and to destroy them and to falsify them. Lord, our thinking, our ways are earthly. Our ways are self-serving. But Lord, your ways are heavenly and generous and outward-looking. Help us to keep your truths in this outward frame of mind. How do we serve? How do we love? How do we care? Using your truths to guide and to protect. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.